Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul. We're now in
Vacation Foul.
Yeah, it's mid to late August, and we finally got the mics back on.
Yeah, I don't know what the last time we recorded was. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But summer's bad for us. Both of our wives are educators, and, you know.
So it's always rough because they're home, the kids are home, and as much as we enjoy and love this, they not so much.
No.
They don't understand.
Not as supportive.
Yeah, so,
but here we are.
Here we are. So we figured we would do a quick TGX recap. I mean, really, I don't know what you want to touch on. You can't remember your games or anything, but
I can remember some of them.
Well, we just don't need to go into that much detail.
Hell yeah, we need to go into microscopic detail.
So for those who came to the TGX, which is the Tabletop Gaming Expo, well, I guess we got to do their standard stuff anyways. I'm your host, Scott. We are also live streaming on Facebook. So if you're watching this, which I know Alex Dunn and Colin Sharkey are. Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
If you're listening to this now on the Muse Network, then you missed it. So it's always good to go like us on Facebook, which is Party Foul, Everything War Machine Hordes, because we do this live when we can. Hi, Sarah. How's it going? So again, I'm Scott. On my painting table, I just had the little, what's his name? Miss Speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Polished him off.
I have one of those, but I'm in no rush to paint him.
Firefly done, and I got the little Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got him done too.
Paint more Signar guys.
Yeah. So
I still have like all those trencher dudes for the Haley.
Still waiting so that I can play the list.
I know.
That's my painting table's pretty much done. I have to buy more stuff.
I'm Greg, and I'm still playing Grimkin. And
you sound so thrilled.
No, I am. I'm enjoying it. I've kind of, well, we'll talk about WTC later, but honed in on some couple of WTC lists. On my painting table is an Ice Troll. He's about 50% done.
Nice.
And there's a crap load of stuff on my table. Actually, I assembled that Earthborn and primed him. A couple of, what are they called? Cask Imps. And damn it.
You got those two little, I'm showing this, two little Raiders that are on the barrels.
Oh, yeah, they're not on my table, but I do have them.
Yeah.
So you haven't really given me a priority list or anything.
Trolls.
Just trolls. Anything troll-esque.
Give me the trolls.
Well, I do have the Ice Troll, so.
You'll see Greg at WTC, Sarah.
You will.
So, again, we're live streaming on Facebook, so if you hear us all of a sudden answer a question, Sarah Jane Chu is on and messaging us, so she says, hopefully see you at WTC. I'm not going.
No.
My wife doesn't love me enough to go. Greg's going. Somehow he figured out a way.
I sold my soul to the devil.
So basically, after September, we don't see Greg anymore.
Oh, it's not going to be that. Yeah, it's going to be bad.
You're going to pay the price.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so paint the trolls.
I'm working on it. Actually, like, after September, I may get a little more into painting because that's when I'm going to probably shift back to circle. And there is some stuff, not so much circle stuff, but there's some minion stuff that I need to paint.
That helps you out, not me out, I'm saying.
Well, no, but if I'm into painting, I'm doing more. Whereas right now, I'm kind of like, I'm not going to go play video games.
I like the way my Miss Speaker came out. I thought you did it right.
No, I think you look great. Mm-hmm. You look great. Like I said, I have one of them, but I haven't got any need to paint them because Grimkin don't have allies.
I don't have any need to paint him either. He wasn't in a list. I was just like, yeah, he's sitting here.
Oh, no?
And I was like, I'm just like, throwing
him in. I thought you were playing Grim 1.
I am. He's not in that one.
Oh, but like if you're playing with the Glacier King, he's like a,
yeah, it's not
almost
list.
A must-have.
Nope.
For that. I'll call these people back.
That's funny. Okay, so we're going to touch on TGX, which is otherwise known as Tabletop Gaming Expo. You can check it out on the website, which is tabletopgamingx.com, which it was our second year, I guess. I call it our, but my, you're not really involved in it.
No,
Fabio
is.
You just attend, yes.
Just attend, yes.
So it's a three-day gaming con. We had Hobbit, Infinity, 40K, and War Machine, and Shadespire.
Yes.
It was like five different game types. That was pretty. Oh, and Guild Ball.
Was there Guild Ball?
There was a small little Guild Ball turnout, yeah.
Nice. Yep. Which, I didn't actually get down to the other room that had like the Hobbit. And
you didn't check it out at all?
No. Yeah. Lazy or silly. Everybody that went down was like, oh, the terrain is amazing and it's
very immersive. Yeah, they did a great job. So they were like hoping for 20. They ended up with 28.
Nice.
So it was pretty good and apparently went so well that there's going to be more Americans coming up. So we got to make more room for them next year. So that's good.
Very good.
We had approximately, I mean, most people don't ever talk numbers, but we will. I think over the weekend we had about 50 unique War Machine players.
Oh, yeah?
Because there was like the Friday, which was the last chance qualifier for the World Ender, which ended up being top two got in, which ended up being Jake Van Meter and Matt McWaters got in on the LCQ.
Right.
Then We had the team event for War Machine on the Saturday, which we had 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those players didn't play in the Friday, so there were, that's why how we got up to the 50 mark.
Sure, yeah.
And then we took the top two teams, which ended up trickling down to the third team, I think.
Yeah, our team got first, and Matt had qualified, so that
bumped
a spot.
One down, and then
I can't remember who got second, but there was at least one person in that team that had already qualified.
Yeah, so bumped down again, and then like Eric MacDavis got in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it was good because he played his butt off that weekend.
He sure did.
Yeah, so that was good. So that was pretty much like all day Saturday was just the team event, which I thought it was a ton of fun. And the funny thing that happened there was we normally run the Capricorn style.
Yeah.
So a little behind the scenes for the TOs and how this happens. So the Captain Con style is you appoint a captain, a first lieutenant, second lieutenant, and those match up against your opponents. So mm-hmm. captain plays captain and so on. You get one team feat where you guys have to roll off. And if you win the team feat, you get to swap two of the matches. And in discussion, I had someone message me saying, hey, this German method's actually really cool too. You guys should look at it. And I was kind of like, oh, that's cool. I don't really have time to think about it right now, so whatever. I didn't want to change anything. But I had copied it and pasted it and sent it to Fabio. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, Fab, check this out. So then the day of the tournament at TGX, I'm like reading it. And I was like, hey, Fab, what is this? He's like, what? I'm like, what's this? I don't understand.
Neither of you guys really read it?
I read it. I thought it was neat, but I wasn't telling Fab that's what we should do.
Right, right.
I was just like, hey, check this out. He then took that as, hey, we're doing this.
Okay, good.
So he took it, copy-pasted it, made these awesome team sheets with the instructions on how to do it. And I was just like, oh, I guess we're doing it that way now.
I liked it. It was much better than the regular format with the...
So the way this works for people who don't know, if I can remember now, is that I don't know how you decide you roll off to see who does it.
There is a roll off, yeah.
So one team puts a sheet down on a table. The other team puts a sheet down on the other table. And then...
Whatever's left goes in the middle.
Yeah, whatever's left goes in the middle. And that's how you pick your pairings, which is kind of neat. I mean, it's still a crapshoot. You don't know what's going on. And
well, you're kind of like, it's not completely a crapshoot because you're kind of like speculating what...
it's also like a terrain too.
Their strong list is like, yeah, you're kind of thinking like, their strong list is going to be the one that goes down first, the one that you are going to have the problems with, I think.
You think so?
Well, that's kind of the way we handled it. I think we put Jeremy down first.
I would always look at the table and be like, do I want to play in this table? And if the answer is no, then I'm like, I'm going on this table. And then yeah, you're just, sure. That's the way I would do it.
That was a factor too, because if we're putting down, like, I mean, I think it was like, if you rolled first, you got to pick one of the outside tables.
Right. The inside table.
The inside
always,
table was always the two last guys. So if you got to pick first out of those tables. And so if we got to go first, we'd put Jeremy down on a table that we knew had good Hellmouth placement spots.
Right.
And also at that time, Animag was kind of still new, and we thought people might have more problems with them. And we'd also like, you know, you're playing mind games with your opponent, and you're like, oh, we think that this is their strong list, and they're going to try to save it for the middle table or something, you know? It's a little random, but it's less like straightforward as the first one. Yeah,
I did like it. As a TO, I thought it was funny because, I mean, whatever, we just, here you go, do this, and we're done. So that was, again, the Saturday. Some hilarity ensued. It was good times.
Mm-hmm. And Saturday night was the
Shadespire thing, which was funny because then we had a couple guys who paid just for that. And we figured that the 40K would have, you know, five, mm-hmm. six players would stick around after they were done the first round of the GT.
I don't think anybody stuck
around. None of them played Shadespire. I was like, wow, out of 50 players, we got zero retention.
Hardcore 40K guys.
Like, that's pretty rough. And then, so we had a couple of you guys who also joined in. I joined in, Fab joined in.
Well, it was like the one guy that the guy was running the wood table. What was his name?
Oh, Dan. Yeah.
Dan.
He jumped in too.
He jumped in, but he just borrowed your stuff. Yeah, right? I don't even know if he'd ever played before.
No, he had, but he's like skeletons and stuff. And then he's like, where's this card? I'm like, I have it. And he's like, because I had all my cards there. So he's literally building a deck. So we ended up having eight guys in the Shadespire tournament, which is still fun. We mm-hmm. got all like the unique cards and we got the tokens and everything. So that was all good.
Yep. I did experience something in that I did not.
A very negative play experience.
I like it because I thought, you know, well, I like the game because it's like a skirmish game and you play cards and you fight and win. But there's a play style where you don't
fight. We call it the scaredy cat.
Well, this one was like, you just don't do anything. Like, he literally just drew cards the entire time. And
they maybe have to have a cap the hand size or something. Maybe that stops it.
Maybe. It would be nice so if there boring. Was something. Because it was so boring. And it was like, I can't remember if he wins the die roll on the first one, then he gets to place the boards. And so he gets to place them, whatever you call that.
Well, if he loses it. Yeah, if he wins it, he gets to place it long. So he's so far away.
He's so far away. So I'm playing corn guys. I'm basically going to get one guy out there.
On turn three.
He's going to get like one turn to kill something.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have no, like all my things that I score on are like killing aggressive, people and stuff. Yeah. So
no, I totally agree. It sucked. Like I played him the first game. That's who I paired up against. And by fluke, I beat him
on
secondary tie breaks.
Okay.
And which was amazing. Like that was never should have happened, but I did. And I was like, oh, thank God this is over. And then it's like, nope, round two. I was like, oh, I got to play him again.
Yeah.
And then exactly that. He just drew card. And I was just like, I'm done. So he wins.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we got to play our third game. I'm like, no. You win. No, and he's heinous. So slow. Like I would do something and react to something and he would sit there for 5 minutes.
No,
like,
I know. Yeah.
Like you should be disqualified on time. Like you were that bad.
It was very procedural about it for sure. And it was not terribly exciting.
So I was just like, no, not going to do it.
But I also played Dan round one and it was like, he's playing these skeletons and, he's got a deck that's not geared to play out of combat. So he's trying to fight corn guys and it's just not going to work because
you must've killed skeletons.
I killed a lot of skeletons. Yeah. It was pretty silly. But anyway.
Yeah, well, that was a Shades Bar, which was fun. I still think the game's good. And I got the new deck and stuff. Well, yep. That's good.
I'm okay playing it as long as I don't have to play that sort of stupidity.
Nope. I'm not going to ever build it. So you're never going to play it against me.
Okay. I thought Fabio had built some Skaven stuff that was like,
not Skaven. No, he built it on in the storm.
Oh yeah. I'm not going to fight you at all.
Yep. And I was just the same thing. I was just like, I'm done. I'm not playing this. If you're going to do that, I will sit here for three rounds and because I don't care.
Pick my nose.
Yep. Not fun. Yeah. So that was the Saturday night. Then there's lots of drinking was going on all day.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I played a game against, it was Friday night. I think it was, I played against Matthew and, I think I had a tall boy every turn or something like that. Yeah,
well, that was in the LCQ because that almost got Jeremy in. So in the final
round.
That's
right. Well, that was actually part of the LCQ. That's right.
So if Greg won and it helps Jeremy's strength of schedule, he had a chance.
No, I had to lose. I had to lose to help Jeremy's
schedule. Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Yeah. So then Greg was drinking a tall boy around and you almost did it. By the fifth round, you had four tall boys.
Yeah, but I was pretty drunk. I was Scar 1 into Dreamer. And it's actually like a good mad. Matt played it pretty well, considering how drunk I think he was.
If you were sober, it probably would have been better, but
yeah,
it was a good
I'm not going to say I threw the game, but I may have threw the game. But it was great. It was good. That was probably my most hilarious game of the weekend.
And then the Sunday was the finals, so we had the World Ender finals. All the people you'd expect were in it, like Beauchamp, Bubba, or the top players from Southern Ontario.
Sure. And Eric MacDavis. And
Eric MacDavis. JVM. Billy was in. Jake said JVM. And then, yeah. So it was pretty good. Like LeBlanc was there.
Mm-hmm.
McWaters made it in. So
McWaters made it in. Didn't he win?
He ended up winning. So the funny thing was that in the finals of the LCQ, it was JVM McWaters. And it was a good game, grind, like really good.
Mm-hmm.
And JVM ends up winning it. So that gets him into the finals. Then in the first round,
I think that game was like, I'm trying to remember if it was that game. They had to like calculate army points like three or four times.
Oh yeah.
It was that
close.
It was that close.
So yeah.
it was the second tie break, right? So it came down to second tie break and they had to add it up like that. Cause you got free points and all that, that stuff. Right. So
then in the LC, and then in the actual World Ender Invitational, because of the way the seeding was done, they end up having to play round one.
Did they really?
Yeah. But this time McWaters was able to pull it out and beat JVM. JVM, and I think he ended up getting third.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Billy Nichols got second. They had a good... So the finals was something I haven't seen in a long time. And it was refreshing to see.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a long weekend. They're in the final, round. It's a long day, too. It's four rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a lot of the, like, oh, I totally forgot this. And the other guy passed the clock back. Go ahead and do it.
Oh, really?
And then the other thing would happen to the other guy. Oh, I totally forgot this. And pass clock back. Go ahead and do it. So they were making, they played the, not like the tightest game in that sense, but very
friendly and sportsman.
And it was like, you still got to play the best game because you didn't lose on something you forgot.
Mm-hmm.
because it was always given and it went the whole way. And it wasn't like just one person was giving it and the other guy wouldn't give anything. It was right. back and forth, which was really cool.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. So it was very interesting to see that. They.
That's great to hear because Matt McWater is an asshole. Just kidding.
You haven't heard it here first.
Just kidding, Matt. That's good. I didn't hang around for that because I was like, my wife was ranging on me for being gone all weekend. So
like, you know, when she goes away all weekend, you should totally harass her.
She doesn't do that often, unfortunately.
Push for it more.
Yeah.
So funny. Anyways, that was
the most sportsmanlike. Yes, thank you. Englishing is good for us.
Yeah. So that was the War Machine side of it. The TGX also had a team event for 40K. I can't cover it for you. I didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
The GT, we had a 50-man GT on the Saturday, Sunday, which was, I think, two round. Can't tell you anything about it because I don't play 40K.
All I can say is like there's some really wicked cool models. And some of the armies are like just a bunch of big cool things. I don't think I would enjoy playing it, but
it looked awesome.
It looked pretty awesome.
And the guys were like hooting and hollering. There were lots of, it sounds like they had some fun anyways. So that was good. And so after the guy who runs it for us, we have this awesome guy, Ridvan, who comes out from Barrie to run it for us, which is good. The second year he's done it. He went down to the capital city Bloodbath and played their GT. They had 110 player GT.
Damn.
He won.
Did he really?
Yeah, he took it with his Dark Elder. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, nice. So not only does he TO, he's good, too.
Yay.
So yay, Ridman. And we had Ash from Guerrilla Miniature Games. He was running the Infinity, which was a Saturday-Sunday thing. And he had something special planned for the Sunday, or maybe it was Saturday night, but the guys didn't end up doing it. It's some weird format for Infinity. I don't know enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys weren't really interested, so they didn't do it, as far as I know. But then they just ran another event on the Sunday, and we had guys as far away as Detroit coming down for the Infinity, too.
Really?
So, yeah.
How many guys did they come up for
Infinity? I think we had 20 on Saturday. I don't know how many played on Sunday, so...
Nice.
Yeah, so it's good. I think it grew from last year. All the events grew from last year. Mm-hmm. I think the event doubled in size.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at this point where we can go 80 for 40K. We're talking about AOS because we didn't do any of that. And people are like, you're not doing AOS.
Isn't there a new edition that just came out?
I think yeah. Right. So people are wanting to do that.
That might increase its popularity.
So the problem is that 4x6 tables take up a lot of room.
Oh, yeah.
So if we do AOS and 40K, there's now no room for War Machine.
Oh, no.
I have to like bump it to a side room. And
oh,
then,
my God.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing, right? And I'm the War Machine guy. So it's like, if I'm not doing War Machine, I don't want
to. But it's also your event. You got to like, if there's 50, 60 people coming out for AOS and 50, 60 people coming out for 40K, and there's only...
50 players coming out.
But it was never 50 people at once.
No.
So
36 in the doubles and the team event, the three-man team event was the most that we had playing.
You got to cater to the...
I know. But that's the whole thing, right? Like it's 40K is taking over.
Yep.
I mean, we have the SOO, which has like over 100 War Machine players. So there's still that.
That's still pretty big.
But we'll have to figure it out. We're like in talks trying to figure out, do we find a new location with more room? So there's that. And it's like...
So is that pretty much it then?
That's it.
Talk about my games briefly, run through them.
Sure, if you want.
Yeah, sure.
All right, do it.
I had a great time. I came down on Friday. Dave and I had a room. Was somebody else crashing? I don't think so. Steve crashed, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did he? I can't even remember sleeping. I don't think I slept very much anyways. We're eating breakfast with Steve and Dave. So, yeah, I must have slept in the same room as them. I also drank a lot. So Friday was the LCQ. And round one, I paired up against Jake, and he played Abbey One, and I played Dreamer, and it might have been Pit Two or Spread the Net. I think it might have been Spread the Net, but we played a really, really good game, really tight game. He didn't feat ever because I had the death knell, so he's really not going to do much with it. But it kind of came down to Asriel. Had to make frenzy checks two turns in a row, and he passed both of them, I think, meaning a six, especially the last turn. If he had failed that one, I think it's possible that it might have gone my way. But like I said, it was a really good, really good tight game. So I lost that one, and then I played, what's his name? It starts with an A, but it's kind of weird. It was Aaron. I'm going to call him Aaron. Okay. And I'm trying to remember, he was from Kingston, though. And I thought he was like mid 20s or something, but he turns out he's like 17 or something because he said he couldn't book.
He was 18, I think.
No, he couldn't be 18 because he couldn't book a hotel room or something like that.
He might not have had a visa. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. No, I remember Kingston. The kid though. Yeah.
So anyways, he played Zal 2 Immortals and I played Dreamer into it. And I ended up losing that one. And I think that's the first time I've played into Immortals with Dreamer. And I think I was a little too aggressive on the feet turn. I think that one was pit too. So the first one must have been spread the net. I think I was a little aggressive on his feet turn. I tried to clear the zone. I came up one immortal short. And I think I had forgotten to make a phantasm out of the objective. And if I had done that, maybe I could have just bulldozed him out or something. But I think I shouldn't have been so aggressive on the feet turn and just let him come up and then start digging in. It was a good game. I told him that he could crash in our room if he wanted to, but I guess he had to go home for whatever reasons. And then third round, I can't remember if it was third or fourth, but I played Simon and he played Rias. Rias won in Primal Terrors.
Nice.
And I played Dreamer and I think I made the mistake on that one. It was standoff. And there was a building in the middle where I knew he was going to put a Hellmouth and just drop tentacles into my zone consistently. It's super annoying.
Don't get me started on it.
So you love Hellmouths, right? Hey, I find them extremely frustrating too. But
it's our number one fan, Steve, and our number two fan, Tim.
Yay. Hi, guys. So he had the Hellmouth on. I knew he was going to put the Hellmouth there. And then the other one probably over in the other circle zone. And I decided that I could use the house as like a way to stop him from pulling me in. But as it turned out, it just took too long to work my way around the house. And actually, it was the one turn the Blightbringer kind of dove into my zone and killed a Cage Rager. And then I kind of had to divert a couple heavies to kill the Blightbringer. And that meant I wasn't going around the house and killing the So I got a little behind on scenario. And I think in my last turn, I clocked out just as I killed the Hellmouth. What? Shut up. I'm not going to talk about that cabinet. That looks like an old kitchen cabinet anyways.
Probably is.
So I ended up clocking out on that one. And I think, Jake came by and he's like, I'm like, oh, fucking Hellmouth so broken. I would have won if it wasn't for that fucking Hellmouth. And he's like, well, you just have to like focus on one and take it out and whatever. And I'm like, fuck, Hellmouth broken, blah, blah, blah. And he just like throws up his hands and walks away. And I made the mistake of like going for the one that was hard to get to. And as much as there wasn't any sort of defensive terrain to stop pulls and stuff like that, I should have gone for the other zone that I knew would have been harder to get into. And another trick I could have pulled is because he had put the Hellmouth behind the building, the command reached to the edge of my zone. So if I had like a few models that I wasn't doing anything with, like maybe if I can position the death knell or gremlin swarms or something like that in a spot that that I can stop him from placing the Hellmouth in, then it becomes more difficult for him to put them in. And it kind of worked out in that game a bit, but Amok is like super annoying for like dealing with, is the cabinet oak? No, it's a veneer. So, I thought if I gone hard on the left and I use like gremlin swarms to contest on the right with, then he kind of has to put Amok over there to get rid of it. And that means my gremlin swarms are safer over on the left. And that kind of worked out. And, I played another game against Orr with Amok doing the same type of thing. We're forcing him to go one direction so that I can at least safely use Gremlin Swarms on the other. So I lost that one, and then I don't know, I played another game somewhere in there that I can't even remember.
You roughed it out.
Yeah, but I didn't do very well that day at all. And, oh, no, that was the one I played with Matthew. That was the last round, right? Yeah. The Scar 1 versus Dreamer. And I think it was like the last turn, and I was pretty drunk. And, I think he might have been up a CP or something, and but I was in a very good position attrition-wise, and he played it very smart because a lot of Scar players that you kind of go into with Dreamer is they just like feet turn two or three and just dive into your brick like super hard, right? And that usually ends up swinging the attrition my way because the brick can kind of take it most of the times. He might get a heavy or a couple lights or something like that, but then with Manifest and Enrage and all that and just all the Fury attacks that I can generate with it, just chews through stuff. But he didn't do that. He was trying to, you know, wait to pull my brick apart. It was Mirage, and so he was trying to wait to like for stuff to move away from the centralized sort of brick. But I did kill a Wraith engine. I want to say the top of two or something like that. But I had run up like a couple of Gorehounds, and I enraged one of them, Wraith Bane both. Cast Manifest Destiny and charged the Wraith engine and killed it. And I was like, woo, that's pretty cool. And he wasn't kind of expecting that kind of output from them. The Gorehounds with the Dreamer are really surprising in terms of how much damage they can do. And then he like countered with some Banes that had to walk through a building because they couldn't charge because they couldn't see the damn thing. And I think he might have killed one, but he didn't kill the other one. He was kind of frustrated by that, even with Dark Guidance and everything. And then he was like, then that Gorehound was just like, I'm just going to go back here and kill the UA, pop, and then sprint behind the building and be annoying for the rest of the game. But it was a super fun game. Like I said, I think in the last turn I had like, excuse me, I had three Fury on Dreamer, and all I had to do was like camp a couple, and he couldn't assassinate anybody. But I was like, I'm going to Abyssal Gate this Stalker out of my zone. And so I missed him, and then I got assassinated that turn. But we had already
four tall boys.
Yeah, we'd already determined that if I lose,
it didn't
Jeremy,
matter.
Jeremy might have got in.
It didn't matter
over McWaters.
Yeah, it didn't.
And I was like, "Fuck McWaters." So that was great. I don't know if we kept drinking after that or what, but
Yeah, you had food, and then you came. Yeah, we still drank some more.
Yeah, that was a good night. So then the team tournament, which was only three rounds.
Yep.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, because it was a pair-up situation, and the pair-up won, lost, won, whatever that happens. Yeah.
So the first round, I can't remember the team we played, but I had to play against a gentleman named Justin, who, I can't remember. He's a smart guy because he's like a fucking doctor or a chemist.
Craig has to take
something.
Notes when he's at WTC.
Yeah. Hey, I remember his name, okay? And I remember he had like, he has some sort of medical condition where his hands shake a bit or something. So, but he's a smart guy. He's got like science degrees or he's a professor or something. Anyways, he's playing Menoth, which I don't normally get a chance to play into. And he had something and Sevi one. I don't know. The one with like the ashes to ashes and shit. And a blessing of vengeance and stuff. And so I decided I'm going to play this heretic list. And ended up going pretty badly for me the first three, maybe even four turns. But then I finally got my my reckoning turn, the Trump turn, and I just fucking destroyed everything. It was really stupid. I like killed three units, the Blessing of Vengeance and a heavy or something. It was just like everything died. It was just like the first time I think I had a heretic turn where the stupid reckoning just like juggled from thing to thing, and it was just like
you lived the dream.
I lived the dream. And then after that, like he had some good dice and some bad dice. Like he killed my Gorehound in cover with like two spells. I was like, the fuck? But then he had, some, like I said, he had some bad dice with the battle engine trying to shoot my little cavalry guys and stuff like that. But I did end up winning that one. We ended up winning that round. Then the next round we played Eric Mac Davis's team.
Which also had Steve on it.
Yes, it also had Steve on it.
Andrew Naron too, I think.
And this is where, like I said, I can't remember the exact process of the pairing and stuff like that, but we surmised that Eric would be in the middle table for whatever reason. Okay. I can't remember exactly why. And Matt was like, I do not want to play those circle lists. It's bad for me. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do it. I played him in Rochester, and I had a half decent game into Una. Like it was super hard, but I can't promise anything. You guys just have to win your games. So I played Eric, and it went worse than it went in Rochester.
Oh boy.
Well, it was just, I think it was like in that game, it's like, you just have to hope that you can push through on the attrition a bit, but you cannot lose on scenario. And she's going to push scenario super hard, and she's going to push assassination super hard. So I went in, tried to score early, but I failed to kill like a Griffin by a point or two. And, I think that game, I also forgot to turn the objective into the bulldoze phantasm, and maybe I could have bulldozed it out or something like that. So
you should always keep your phantasms in your hand.
I know. I've got a lot better at remembering it, but, but I don't know.
It costs you more games.
It's true. It's true. It's a big part of her kit. So I did end up losing that one on scenario. I think, guessing by the board position, I was going to lose it on attrition anyways. It's just like, he's got, what the fuck is it, 9 birds?
Yeah, it's a lot of
so
birds.
Many birds.
And so bright, the orange on it like pops.
Yeah, like, oh, it's like so many damn birds. I don't know what to do. I lost that one. Matt won his and Jeremy won his. So we won that round.
We're on to round three.
On round three. Oh yeah, we were playing Corey.
Corey Burns?
That's the right Burns, right?
Well,
the tall thin guy.
Corey wasn't there that we
had. Yeah. Corey Burns and who the fuck else was on that team? I know it was like, was it Bubba? It was Bubba.
And Orr.
Yeah. So the way it shook out is I ended up playing Corey, Bubba ended up playing Jeremy, and Orr ended up playing Matt. So we're getting down. He played his Makeda 2 list with all the Praetorian Swordsmen. I don't know what theme that's called, but it's a pretty crazy list. It's got Moloch Karn and Centrati and like 3 units of swordsmen. It's just like, it's dudes for days. And I think, I'm trying to remember if we were playing Outlast. I think we're playing Outlast, the 2 circles with the objectives. And I played Dreamer, and Jeremy played Animag into Scar 3, what Bubba was playing. Masters of War, yes, thank you.
All them
swords, dude. And I think Orr played, I want to say he played Primal Terrors into Scar 3. Anyways, I think, I don't know exactly what happened with the game with Bubba, but pretty early on some bad dice happened for Bubba or something where he went in with Slaughter, what's the guy's name? The Gerlach Slaughter.
Oh, that's right.
Born.
And I think he missed his first attack.
He was about to
live the dream or something.
Yeah, I'm going to surf through all these Ogryn or something. And that failed. And then Jeremy assassinated him with like feet and chosen or something, right? Charged him. So that was like turn 2, turn 3 or something. So I'm fighting this like balls down grind out game that's going to be, you know, 2 hours with Corey and 20 minutes in. And Bubba's like, all right, I'm out. It's gone. So I'm like, okay, that's good.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. He's like, that's good. And our game was like, I was kind of pushing for the left zone. And he was pushing on the right zone. And I'd actually put Gorehound and a couple Gremlin Swarms over there to try to deal with it. He does have the poo holders. What are they called? The ones that collect souls and they have the gun. And
Sarah will tell us in a second.
Yeah, she'll tell us. He hands out magic weapons. So he can't hand out Eye of Sight, but he was handing out magic weapons to deal with the Gremlin Swarms that I was contesting. So there's a couple turns where he's like, I have to charge this swordsman into this Gremlin Swarm and just hit this 7. Extoller Soul Ward. Yeah, that thing. The poo holder. He holds the poo. So he hit those and we're trading Extoller. Not extolled. Yeah. No, right. So we're trading CPs pretty effectively. It was like a great game. It was like 2 turns of like jockey, jockey, jockey. And then he slams in with his Praetorian guys and, you know, I don't know, does it rolls a little bad or something like that. Doesn't kill the stuff that he wants to kill. And then I counter my Rattlers were like, they never got like the super killing spree. But every turn, they're killing, like, each one is, like, well, maybe the one in the middle more so, but he's killing, like, 6 to 8 dudes every turn. And then just, like, he's doing all that, and then heavies move up, and you can't get to him. There's a couple of turns he got charges on him where he might have, should have killed him, but bad dice left him on, like, a bunch of boxes. And then at some point, he went in on the Skin and Moans in the center, and, it, like, his whole list has takedown, right?
Yeah.
But I had taken sacrifice. Partially because I didn't know that his whole list had taken but he came up short on the Skin and Moans and he had to send in the brute, the Cyclops brute, I think it is, with the shield and the shield guard and stuff like that. And he killed it with the brute and I'm like, sacrifice? Like all my shit's like pretty damaged at this point and the Rattler's like on life support. It's like, boo, power up. And then, so there was like a big turn where he kind of charged and he killed the objective with Moloch Karn. He killed, I think he killed the Skin and Moans and stuff like that. He went in really heavy. And even when he's doing it, he's like, I don't know if I'm throwing Moloch Karn away here, but here we go. and so that turn, I killed like half the Centrati and Moloch Karn and another, you know, 8 or 9 swordsmen or something. It was a real, real grind. And Jeremy said that when he kept watching and he's like, turn five, it looked like you had lost that game hard. And then it's like turn six, I think. I went on like a final rampage and the Rattler killed like another eight or nine swordsmen, finished off the Centrati. And then I'd gotten a Gorehound far into the right zone, but I wasn't like super careful with the positioning because, you know, I'm running out of time. And when I checked it during his turn, I'd put him outside of Dreamer's control area. So on his turn, he frenzied and charged deeper so that he'd get to him. Whereas if I had left him in my control and been able to reave the Fury, I don't know if I would have, because I was like pretty hot at that point. I could have moved him back and been contesting a little longer. But it turns out it didn't matter, because at the end of the game, he had like Makeda and one Praetorian swordsman standard bearer or something like that. And I had finally destroyed his objective and cleared the middle zone and stuff and started to switch it. But I had like a minute left at that point. And like I said, it was like super grindy, really, a really excellent game. Matt had lost his game. I don't know all the details.
So you pulled yours off as a win?
I pulled it off as a win. Yeah. Like I said,
tight.
That was definitely like, I think I played that game really well. And Corey, he played it very well. And it was like a amazing game. I wish I like had it videotaped or something so I could watch it again, because it was just like, oh my God.
I'm going to bring my setup and I'll stream.
Like, when you look at it, you're like, how am I going to fucking kill all these guys? So many dudes. And they hit freaking hard because they have power swell, right? So they go
found
in and
they
combo smite. They're like POW 12 weapon masters. But
so here's my tactical tip for you. Qualify for the World Ender so you don't need to do it on the team event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wah, 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 wah.
And so when I went to the finals, I played Bubba round one. And I played Dreamer into his Scar 3, and it's sort of like an introductory. I'd never played a Scar 3 before. And he sent in Tickles, whatever his name is, Charybdis, or the tentacle guy, Crix.
Oh, yeah. Starts with a K, I think. Charybdis.
Charybdis, yeah. Sends in Charybdis with Gang and, like, Draconic Blessing or something like that. I think he fails to kill the Cage Rager. I kill it back. There's one interesting play that I was like, there's a building in the middle of the center zone. Cause this was, which was the one? It's got like a square rectangle zone in the middle and then the two circular zones with objectives. I can't remember what that one's called, but, there's the rectangular zone in the middle and, there's a building right in front of his objective. And he had like his like key support pieces back there. And I was like, fuck, I'm never gonna get to Axarius or whatever and that shit. And so I sent in a Gorehound and I killed the Misery Cage they had in front of the building, and then I sprinted behind the building so not much could get to me. And then he got a couple of Trollkin, whatever the double hand guys are. I don't know what they're called. They're not the Marauders, they're the other ones. And he doesn't kill the Gorehound. And so in my turn, I'm like, I can just walk past this building right through the damn thing. So I go through and I'm like, I could attack the objective, but let's kill his support. So I kill Axaria and the attachment that gives her sack pawn or something. And I was like, yay. And I think I even had a Fury left to sprint somewhere. I was like, yay, I love Gorehounds. So, but in the last turn, which might have only been like turn three or four or something, I'm doing Dreamer and I place my stuff and I end myself on one and I cast the Artifice on my heavies. So I'm on one. I thought I was behind some stuff, but apparently I left a little bit of a gap between the objective and the battle engine. And Bubba starts, we start talking through the assassination potential or whatever, right? And he decides he's going to go for it. He does Scar and she's got like
a whole bunch of shots.
She's got a whole bunch of shots. And she's also got, what is it called? Like Fire for Effect or something. Everybody gets boosted attack rolls. The one Leviathan on the right wasn't going to get honor because it's too far away. But the other one, which was engaged by, oh, maybe it wasn't engaged by a Gorehound. It just had a Gremlin Swarm that was basing it that I kind of
remember
there to base it. Yeah. And so he gave magic weapons with those weird claw-like girls to a couple of, I'm not going to remember their Trollkin.
Yeah, I've forgotten.
I can't remember what they're called. The guys are the two weapons anyways. So given the two of those guys, the only two that could really get there. And they walked over, and I think they needed sevens to hit the Gremlin Swarm, and it didn't hit any of them.
Yeah, so. I've walked in this part.
Didn't hit any of them, so that was kind of sad for him. I think when he did Scar, I don't think he shot the battle engine. I'm trying to remember if he did. No, I don't think he did. Just shot Dreamer with like all two shots. It was maybe only two shots. I can't remember if he got the hand cannon in range. But he basically stripped her of like down to like six boxes or something like that. I still had the one transfer. I'm trying to remember. But at some point he's like, I'm going to try to kill the battle engine to reduce her armor for the last bunch of shots. And so he did the Marauders and he did some CMAs. And I shield guarded onto a Krabbit that had like two boxes and a Fury on it. And that Krabbit dies and I reave the Fury. And now I have another transfer. And he's like, oh, fuck. So
Math just changed.
But he's already moved up Scar, right? She's already in the danger zone. So he does the Leviathan. I roll -2 to attack rolls, which is bad. Because, I mean, it gets the free boost and stuff like that. But now it goes to needing 12s.
Yeah.
So that's bad. And he goes up, but he does roll three shots. So that's good. And I think he hit two of them and left me on like four or five boxes or something like that. It was pretty tight even so. So I did end up winning that one because he conceded because he's like standing in front of three of my heavies or something. But it was a good lesson for me to learn that if I'm going to cast the Artificer, it should be on fucking Dreamer the entire freaking game. And I got to be careful about that. I knew that range assassination was there. Cause even if I have something in front of her, he can just go shot it with one of the cannons,
yep.
But it reduces the volume of shots that he can put on her. So, so that was a good game. And then I played Mark and he played Haley 3 and I played Dreamer and we had another like really locked down grind out type of game. And the point that I lost it was, I can't remember, turn four or something like that, when I was ready to get the Rattlers deep into his dudes. And I forgot to put Pathfinder on the one that was going to go deep. And I couldn't really get into all of his stuff, like especially the long gunners. If I had Pathfindered him, I could have charged like Jonas or Ayana or something like that, who were in a puddle or whatever. And then I could start overtaking into the long gunners. But I couldn't do that. As it turned out, I did end up losing. But it was still super tight. I had like one skin of moans and the battle engine, I like ended up just like charging into the long gunners to keep them busy. And he went in and tried to kill the skin of moans, but didn't have enough to really do it. So on my last turn, I had the skin of moans trample to engage Haley. And I needed a manifest destiny boosted 11 to hit and a manifest destiny boosted 11 to kill. And I missed the boost at 11 to hit.
No.
So, like I said, it was another great game. A lot of fun. And that matchup is tough, to say the least. So, but it was a great game. And then Mark went on to play Matt, and I think he lost to Matt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Mick Waters ended up winning it.
He sure did.
But
it was a shit ton of fun, for sure.
Well, that's good. Hopefully we have TGX number 3 next year. Well, we will. Hopefully.
It's going to be the GW TGX.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's the quick wrap up. We can end it here.
And we'll talk about WTC next time.
Yeah. Next time, which will be right now.
Yes.
Boop. So I'm not turning this off. I'm leaving the Facebook Live on. I'm just going to restart a new one.
Yeah.
So again, find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook, find us everywhere. Party Foul. Just search for it. You'll find it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.